Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 70 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling Chad Shelton, Man of Many Herbicides. I met Shelton nearly 30 years ago when he was just a whippersnapper, and I wasn't much beyond that phase. At the time, he was an agronomist for Western Farm Services. Our connection deepened when he was hired by BASF to introduce the Clearfield Production System, which utilizes Beyond, a Group 2 herbicide that can be sprayed over a growing wheat crop to kill weeds. The herbicide-tolerant wheat was developed through mutagenesis and is not a GMO. The system has been in use in the Pacific Northwest for nearly 18 years. In a back-to-the-future type situation, Shelton is working for a different company today to introduce another herbicide-tolerant wheat developed through mutagenesis. Called the Coaxium Wheat Production System, it utilizes a Group 1 chemical called Aggressor to kill a variety of grassy weeds. Bringing a new mode of action to fight grassy weeds in wheat crops is a positive development for farmers who will be able to rotate Clearfield system with Coaxiums. But because Aggressor is so effective at killing weeds, the possibility of developing resistance within the weed population is even greater than it was for Beyond, which means responsible use of the chemical, called stewardship, is even more important. The Coaxium system was not developed by a company, but rather by the Colorado Wheat Research Foundation, an arm of the Colorado Wheat Commission. Colorado State University scientists may have done the research, but it was directed by and is owned by farmers. Alba, Shelton's current employer, is helping to launch the product along with Lima Grain, which is releasing varieties with the Axigen patented herbicide-tolerant trait. That's AXIGEN. You can hear about Lima Grain's role in the release in episode 67 entitled Lima Grain Shakes Things Up. Although two varieties will be available next fall, they are not particularly adapted to the Northwest. But you'll hear ahead that adapted varieties are coming. Shelton grew up on a wheat and cattle ranch near Pomeroy, working with his father, uncle, and grandfather. He might still be there were it not for the timing of a job offer that set the trajectory of his career. But I'll let him tell that story. I spoke with Shelton on April 13, 2018 at the Washington Grain Commission office in Spokane. Friendly and articulate, he clearly knows his stuff when it comes to crop protection chemicals. I opened our conversation by asking him how his career got started.
Coming out of college, I actually spent 2 years working for Northwest Ag Consultants and actually had a consulting business that I was utilizing soil samples and fertility recommendations and field scouting. And I spent 2 years doing that. And then Jim Killingsworth, who was managing Western Farm Service, hired me away to be the division agronomist. And that really springboarded my career because that 10 years that I spent at Western Farm Service is really what shaped me and molded me into the future of what I was going to do. I had the opportunity to basically be farming across three states with multiple growers, multiple microclimates, and we developed a program that put out over 300 trials and looked at things that really were causing the growers challenges, but also looked at things that helped them make money. And I give the credit, quite honestly, to the growers in the Pacific Northwest for shaping the Chad Shelton that is here today, because they told me what to look for. They told me what they needed. And at the end of the day, I can remember one of the most famous things that John Ray told me out of Touche, Washington. He says, it isn't pretty that pays the bank. And you've got to be able to do some things that puts money in the bank. And that's one thing that always stuck with me from a grower's level.
It isn't Purdy that pays the bank. Yes, I remember John Ray. So now, since Western Farm Services, you've held a variety of jobs with a series of companies. Run through the different jobs that you have held.
Well, yeah, my first job after Western Farm Service was actually the marketing manager for the Clearfield wheat with BSF, and BSF hired me to launch Clearfield wheat across the United States, and that led to some other things that I was able to do around launching Headline fungicide across markets as well, and focusing in on corporate farm initiatives. So to focus in on the growth of large corporate farms and how companies like BSF would address them in the future. So I actually spent 8 years with BSF. It was a great opportunity to bring a new technology to the marketplace, the first herbicide-tolerant trait in wheat, and it was really exciting because prior to that, we never had the opportunity to control jointed goat grass in wheat, and that tool provided that. So it was very exciting to see what that would do both on jointed goat grass and feral rye across the United States. And so after that, Syngenta hired me away. And they hired me to manage the seed treatment business. Very much unique here in the fact that when Syngenta hired me away to manage the seed treatment business on cereals, potatoes, vegetables, and anything that wasn't corn and soybeans, our southern crops, was unique in the fact that I had new technologies like Cruiser. I launched Vibrance. And so once again, this was another opportunity for me to be involved in bringing new technologies to my most important customer, and that's the grower. So both with BSF and Syngenta, I had those opportunities. For the last 5 years, I'm actually been with Albi, and for the same reason that I worked for BSF and for Syngenta, Alba hired me away to launch a new technology. And so I've been here to bring technology at Alba from the seed treatment perspective. We brought a brand new wireworm solution to the Pacific Northwest market. We've now also are getting ready to launch the coaxium wheat production system, which is the second novel herbicide trait in wheat.
I have watched you over the years as you have cycled through these different companies. Do you consider yourself an ambitious man or a man in the right place at the right time?
It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, they've always said it's one thing to be lucky and good at the same time, and I've been very, very fortunate and lucky. And I've had the opportunity through my career to have people look at me and say, we'd like to have him on a team to help us launch technology, whether it's in the United States or in other countries. And so I've been very, very fortunate in my career to be able to bring new technologies to growers, and it's been with different companies. When you're successful at launching a technology with one company, somebody might look at that and say, we'd like to have him to launch our technology too, and I've kind of fit that bill.
Isn't that wonderful? Now, you graduated with an agronomy degree. You called yourself an agronomist. Today, you hold the impressive title of head of the Coaxium Executive Committee and Global Director of Proprietary Products. Wow. Is Chad Shelton the agronomist in the rearview mirror?
Oh, absolutely not. Chad Shelton, the agronomist, is always in the front and center because you can never forget your roots. And that's one thing that I've never done with all the opportunities that have been brought to me. I always have the agronomist in my heart, and because that agronomy piece is what helps make the grower the money. And so even though I've had marketing roles and brand management roles, I always think the technical information, the agronomic information, is what drives the benefit at the grower level. So I'm an agronomist at heart, even though now I'm a marketing manager and a brand manager. Marketing through technical training of agronomy is really what's important.
So I'm curious, did you think about going back to the farm?
And this was a decision I had to make. My dad asked me the second year I was at Western Farm Service, do you want to come back and farm? And honestly, what I looked at that point was I was farming across three states. I looked at and I deal with each grower like they are my dad and that I'm farming with them, that I've created a partnership. And I wouldn't tell any grower across the United States or in the state of Washington or in the county of Walla Walla anything different than I would tell my dad. So I actually passed it going back to farm because I felt that what I was doing at that time was farming on a larger scale and touching a lot more growers with that opportunity, even though it would have been a great opportunity to farm with my dad and my uncle.
Absolutely. So where does your gift of gab come from? I mean, I cannot speak as smoothly, as eloquently as long as you can without making grammatical errors?
I think it's passion. I mean, I have a passion for what I do. I get up in the morning thinking about, you know, the technology that I'm working with that day, and I may spend, you know, 2 or 3 days out looking at fields. One thing that I do that's really important before I speak at any given location is I arrive about an hour early, and I drive around the area in which I'm going to be speaking. And I think that really helps ground you, because when you say, well, the wheat looks good, well, if you're in an area where the wheat doesn't look good and you say that, that's a problem. So if I'm doing a presentation in Ione, Oregon, you know, I arrive about an hour early and I drive around the area, and then I'll stop and talk with growers. Last year, one of the things that I did when I was in the southern part of the marketplace is I stopped and talked to over 15 growers and asked them what they thought about things. And I don't want to always introduce myself at the end. That way they wouldn't preface anything. And so I think it's passion. The ability to stand up and talk about something is about the passion you have for it, about the knowledge you have for it, and most importantly, your ability to make sure the grower understands what the opportunities are, both the good and the bad. I mean, you got to be able to explain both the good, the bad, and the ugly, if you will.
Yes, yes, and you do that. I have attended two meetings where you presented on the coaxium system, and each time you talked for nearly an hour. What is your preparation like? And after 30 years, can you just wing it, or is there a lot of preparation involved?
Well, I think there's always preparation, and I would tell you, after the opportunities that I've had to speak to grower and bases of over 500 to as small as 2, you always want to prep for it, and you want to have your thoughts together. So I would tell you the prep is different, though. If you've been in the industry for 30 years, you're going to prep differently. And when I was a young man, I probably had a lot more butterflies than I do today. But I would also tell you that I still get butterflies today, because what I don't ever want to do is have my emotions get in front of me and I say something that is not right, because you don't get to take that back. So
you get butterflies. I get blackbirds and raptors of some sort. Now, this podcast is only 20 minutes long, so I'm going to give you a challenge. Describe the coaxium system and its advantages in 3 minutes. I have my phone here set for 3 minutes. Go!
All right. Well, the coaxium wheat production system that's driven by aggressor herbicide is built upon the foundation of 4 things. One is the patented grower trait. Number 2 is the branded herbicide aggressor. Number 3 is the need for germplasm in both public and private formats. And number 4 is industry stewardship. And so the coaxium wheat production system is going to provide the growers with a new tool for control of tough winter annual grasses, including group 2 resistant grasses that we currently are fighting today. And so that's what really makes up the coaxium wheat production system.
I mean, you did that in 40 seconds. Okay, well, we'll continue here. One of the things I've always admired about you and your presentations is that you're not just rah, 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 this is a great product. You spend a lot of time talking about the system's drawbacks. For instance, you're very clear about which weeds the coaxium system works with and which it doesn't. Can you describe the system's weaknesses in 2 minutes? Go. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, the weaknesses of the system right now are just the availability in germplasm, the diverse germplasm. And so that's probably the inherently number one weakness. The number one decision that a grower makes every year is what variety he's going to plant, what microclimate he's going to put it into. For this system, though, when you talk about weeds is the biggest challenge. We are not going to work on certain grassy weeds. And so rat-tail fescue, we're not going to work on. Bulbous bluegrass, we're not going to work on. We need to communicate that up front so growers don't get the perception, hey, this is a new trait and it works on everything. Bottom line is, there is no such thing as a silver bullet. And that's one thing I've learned over my 30-year career. There's goods and bads for everything. There's plus and minuses. And to do this properly, you need to pre-communicate that very early in the process.
So as a reporter for Capital Press 20 years ago, we had a lot of interaction during the time you were with BASF preparing to introduce the Clearfield system. At the time, you had scientists at land-grant universities in the Northwest claiming that overuse and weed resistance would make it a short-lived technology, perhaps along the lines of the herbicide Glean. Although some resistance issues are now cropping up, Clearfield varieties are still widely in use. What has been the key to the Clearfield system's longevity, and why weren't those university experts right?
Well, honestly, the university experts were right. That if we're not careful and we don't manage and we don't steward, that resistance will happen very quickly like Glean. Actually, one of the biggest stories that I tell about Coaxium right now is about stewardship. And I use the example of a crescent wrench. So the crescent wrench is designed to take nuts off of bolts. And every grower that's ever had a crescent wrench also recognizes that when you have a crescent wrench in your hand, you're tempted to use it as something it's not, like a hammer. So Scott, exactly right. When I tell this story, whether it's 50 growers in the room or 200 growers in the room, they all nod their head, just like you're doing. The Coaxium wheat production system and the Clearfield system is a tool. And the fact that we still have the Clearfield production tool in our toolbox, and now we're launching the Coaxium wheat production system as a tool, it's really critical that we use the tool, we steward it, so that when we put it back in the toolbox, when we pull it back out, it works. If we use it as a hammer and we abuse it, just like the university scientist said, we will develop resistance. Just like we did with the sulfonylureas with resistance in Russian thistles and kochia. That happened in 4 years. The resistance that we're seeing today with the Clearfield technology, our group twos, has actually been because we've used the technology for over 20 years, starting with Maverick and today using Beyond or PowerFlex. That group two chemistry today has been around for 20 years, and we're just starting to see some resistant challenges. It would have been nice, honestly, to have the Coaxium wheat production system 5 to 7 years ago so that we could have started to rotate the difference between group ones and group two herbicides and prolong the use of that tool. Because group two herbicides have made growers a lot of money over the years through the control that they've had. But because of our reliance on that technology, just like the scientist said, now we've developed resistance and we need another tool.
So you make a big deal out of the fact that Aggressor is a group one chemical as opposed to Clearfield, which uses Beyond, a group two herbicide. Now, explain why that's so important, and if you can, quickly explain to listeners who don't have a chemical background why using different groups of chemicals is important.
Yeah, that's really important for stewardship because you want to put different modes of action of selection pressure on weeds. And as a good example of that, if you use one mode of action over a period of time, you're going to start to develop and select for plants that naturally occur with tolerance within that species. So group two herbicides started to be used over 20 years ago. And most growers remember Maverick or Outrider as that first chemistry in group twos that gave us downy brome grass control. And when it was launched, what a great tool, because we were going from metribuzin and using metribuzin in combination with Finesse as an example to control downy brome grass. And when we got Maverick from Monsanto, what a great tool, because here was a tool that we could use post-emergence that gave us great utility of control. The problem has been on downy brome grass alone, over the last 20 years, every product we've had, including Beyond and PowerFlex and Offspray, they've all been group twos. The unique advantage of this technology is that it's a new herbicide, not a new mode of action, but a new herbicide for control of post-emerge grass, since this herbicide doesn't have soil residual. The active ingredient, quasiphate p-ethyl, was actually invented over 30 years ago.
Wow.
Over 30 years ago. And the growers in the state of Colorado are the ones that decided to bring this technology to the marketplace. Now, what's unique about that? And here's what I do, Scott, to remind growers. The growers in the United States and around the world in general are the greatest innovators that I can think of. And I give an example. They could buy a $500,000 combine and within 2 to 3 hours would have some modification to that great invention, right? Now, they didn't invent the combine, but they will invent to it to make it fit better for what they do. Now, here's what happened with the Coaxium wheat production system. There was a molecule that was invented 30 years ago that was developed to kill grasses, specifically in broadleaves. And the growers in Colorado said, hey, if it's so good at killing grasses and broadleaves, what if we could develop a trait that would allow it to kill grasses in a wheat crop? And so much like the grower who has the scrap pile behind a shop with a bunch of metal in it. They went out and pulled this piece of metal out, and rather than try to reinvent it for $500 million, they said, let's repurpose this. And so that's what happened. And so we, being Alba, created the registration, a brand new use for aggressor herbicide to be able to go out and use innovation designed by the grower to now use a chemistry that's very active on grasses to take grasses out of grass crop. And so we're pretty honored to be in this position and pretty excited because it is truly grower innovation that is bringing this technology around.
But aren't Group 1 herbicides more likely to develop resistance than Group 2s?
Well, they are based on the mode of action because they're highly effective at what they do within the plant. And then the next thing that you got to ask yourself, resistance around selecting naturally occurring biotypes is a numbers game. So the more often that you use it and the higher populations that you have without rotation of mode of action puts you in that risk. One of the biggest things that we're doing for the management of resistance with our Group 1 herbicide aggressor is putting in very strong stewardship recommendations and rotating between Group 9s, which is glyphosate, using proper timings of glyphosate, Group 2s, and Group 15s, which are pre-herbicides like Zidua and Anthem Flex, are going to be very important tools to integrate with the coaxium wheat production system so that in 15 to 17 years, you and I could still have this conversation because the growers still have that tool in their toolbox.
So what are we talking about in terms of rotating this chemical? Once every 3 years?
Yeah, so if you're in a summer fall wheat rotation, the best way to think about this is you can go coaxium and aggressor, summer follow with proper usage of glyphosate, right, to make sure that that downy brome grass doesn't go to seed. Then you can come back crop year two with coaxium and aggressor, and you've got summer follow with proper timing of glyphosate again. That third crop of winter wheat, the sixth year, we have to use something else. Now, the good thing is there's no soil residual that's been built up over aggressor applications over 2 years, so you have the flexibility to use traditional wheat. And now you can come back to a Group 2 herbicide. Or you could use a Group 15 herbicide as a pre to give another mode of action. So that's really a summer-fall wheat rotation that will help prolong the use of this technology. If we do that, the models would suggest that we will have this technology well 15 to 20 years past the usage of it, if we use it properly.
You were talking earlier about the drawbacks of the system, and you said having adapted cultivars is one of the drawbacks. How are you going to deal with that?
We are widely communicating the opportunity to integrate the AxoGen trait in both public and private germplasm. And currently today, we've got over 8 breeding partners that have signed up to ingress this trait. I am excited to say that Washington State University is one of those. And that opportunity is something that I'm very, very excited about because that's one that we didn't have in the early days of the Clearfield production system.
Much to our chagrin. You're now working for Alba, a name that is becoming more recognizable thanks to you. But it still isn't like the big international players like BASF, Monsanto, Bayer, Dow. Tell me about Alba.
And Alba is a unique company. Alba is a private-owned company. It's owned by Dennis Alba. He started the company over 37 years ago, and his vision was to distribute phenoxy herbicides to aerial applicators in Iowa and in Central Plains states. And that's grown from that to a company now that services Canada, the United States, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, and Europe. And so our goal is to be a premier a provider of off-patent technology. Many reasons, the reason you don't know Alba is because about 65 to 70% of what we make, we actually put into somebody else's jug. So our distributors, whether it be Winfield or Crop Protection Services or Helen or Wilbur Ellis, use our products. We package it and we put it under their name.
You're 51 years old now. What's in the future for you? Do you see yourself staying with Alba?
Oh, absolutely. My goal is to retire with Alba. I've got one of the greatest opportunities that I've ever could have, and that's a company that has basically said, listen to the marketplace, listen to the growers, find out what they need, and go find it. And what a great opportunity. That's probably what I would describe as my dream job. We've brought technology from other parts of the world. We're evaluating new technologies that come from around other parts of the world to address needs of growers in the United States and in other countries. And so I've actually in a really fortunate situation because it almost came full circle, Scott. I started out focusing in on the growers, and now I'm ending my career focusing in on the growers. And so I couldn't be happier, and it's a great opportunity, and I'm truly blessed to be doing it.
Shelton may have been educated as an agronomist, but that combined with his gift of gab makes him a great salesman too. A trait I'm sure hasn't been lost on the succession of companies he's worked for over the last 30 years. I'll be watching with interest as he navigates the introduction of the coaxium wheat production system, although he suggested we could be talking about its success 17 years from now. That would make me, really old. So while I doubt that will occur, I do wish him and the technology the best. That's all the time we have. I hope you've enjoyed episode 70, or what I've entitled, Chad Shelton, Man of Many Herbicides. Please join me again next time for another episode of Weed All About It!
Don't like chemicals, don't like killing. Look in your kitchen, the story there's chillin'. Plant food, Windex, mouse bait too. Mr. Clean, Easy Off, even pet shampoo. You wanna be a hypocrite? Just forget to have the shit. We feed you.